There are new developments today regarding the former Massachusetts woman charged with killing three people in Alabama last week. Norfolk County District Attorney William Keating now says that Amy Bishop could have been charged with three serious crimes after she fatally shot her brother, Seth, in Braintree in 1986, but the death of her brother was ruled accidental. Keating's comments followed the release of Braintree police records on the 1986 case. Those records had been missing for more than 20 years. According to the documents, Bishop fled her home after shooting her brother, threatened two men with a shotgun in an auto dealership, and told them she needed a car. The reports also describe her arrest at gunpoint by two Braintree police officers. To help us parse through these documents is John Kivlin. At the time, Kivlin was Norfolk County's first district attorney and reviewed the original police files in the case. Mr. Kivlin, good morning and thanks for speaking with Morning Edition.
Good morning.
When you reviewed this case back in 1986, did you see these Braintree police files?
The Braintree report regarding this incident with the shotgun at the car dealership and related confrontations that she may have had, that was not brought to our attention.
What files did you get to see?
Well, we got, which is, routinely the case, the state police represent our office in the investigation, and they conducted and led the police investigation, and they write their own report, which would include, obviously, any information they obtained from the Braintree police. But in this particular case, the state police report did not contain the information from Braintree that about this incident that had occurred after the shooting of Seth Bishop.
Do you know why that information wasn't in there? Did state police not see the Braintree police report, or did state police see it and omit the information? Do we know?
I don't know. I haven't seen any accounts of any interviews of the trooper. I don't know.
Had you seen the Braintree police report and were able to consider this information, what do you think would have happened?
Well, first of all, even before I saw the Braintree police report, if the Braintree police interviewed these individuals, which apparently they did, they would have had probable cause to arrest Ms. Bishop for the assaults on Mr. Pettigrew and anyone else that may have been assaulted by her after the shooting.
Pettigrew, just for background, one of the men who was supposedly in the auto dealership when she went in brandishing the shotgun
right.
after shooting her brother.
Right, right. And that aspect of the case, those are non-homicide-related charges. Those are routine complaints that, ordinarily the Braintree police would have, been able to obtain immediately as a result of those incidents.
Do these newly released documents change your larger view of this case? And was now, do you think, an arrest warranted in the case back then?
I mean, clearly, an arrest by the Braintree police was warranted as to the assaults on Mr. Pettigrew or the other individual that may have been present when she fled, left the house. If you're referring to the death of Seth Bishop, I believe, according to the current district attorney's statement, they said their review of the new reports did not provide any information or evidence that would contradict the account that was given originally by the mother that it was an accident.
Let me come back to the state police report. The state police report, as I understand it, was only 6 pages long. And as I understand it as well, there are some legal specialists who are now saying that a 6-page long report after an incident such as the shotgun shooting death of the brother of Amy Bishop seems pretty superficial. Do you remember thinking at that time that the state police report, which you did look at, wasn't long enough, wasn't maybe thorough?
Well, the state police report in question, it was a report that was filed, in March, 3 months afterwards. And it was a summary of all of the information that the state police had obtained during the investigation. There was reference you know, to the Braintree police and to the state police ballistician and others that were involved in the investigation, the medical examiner. So, you know, there were reports by those individuals as well. But the state police report should have included, you know, important or material or significant or relevant information that they had received during the investigation, whether it be from the Braintree police, the medical examiner, or anyone else. And clearly, the state police report did not include some of this information, some of it very significant information, beginning with the incident that happened with Pettigrew and the other individual, which, you know, would have shed, would not only provided cause for the Braintree police to originally arrest her, at least for that incident, but would have also caused and shed further light on, you know, the entire episode.
Well, which I think raises this question. So why wasn't the state police report back then called into question? Why didn't you, after you looked at it, say, where's the rest of the information here?
Well,
go back and look at this again.
Well, you can't know what's not in it if it's not in it. You know, for example, you know, the most important and significant piece of information that should have been in that report was the fact that she fled the house, left the area, ended up at this car dealership, was pointing the shotgun at people, threatening people, making statements that were significant, and none of that was included in the report, and there was no way for us to know, reading the report, that there was any such information.
There's a quality about all the stories that we've been hearing about and reading about since the Amy Bishop shooting in Alabama last week, all the stuff that's happened in Massachusetts, that
right.
has this totem quality of hear no evil, see no evil. And it's not hard to imagine that a lot of people who are consuming the information about this story today on the other end of the radios and folks who are reading the newspapers aren't thinking exactly that. Hear no evil, see no evil. What do you say to that?
For whatever reasons, information that should have been passed along up to the district attorney's office wasn't. There, nobody knows why. So I can understand that people would be at the least disappointed that you know, police investigators handled the case the way they did.
Which I think maybe then leads to this last question this morning. Should an investigation be opened into the handling of this case so that the public knows whether or not it was just sloppy work, incomplete work, or whether there was an intentional cover-up of this stuff?
As a result of the release of these reports that were missing, there'll be even more response and inquiries made of the parties that were involved. And it appears that, you know, whatever explanations, if there are any, as to why this information wasn't communicated in the way it should have been or communicated ultimately to the district attorney's office, is going to become evident to everybody.
John Kivlin, former assistant district attorney in Norfolk County, thank you very much for speaking with us.
All right. You're welcome.